How's it going, everybody? Pete, Rob, Davey in the house remotely talking fantasy pucks and hoping for some good news on the playoff format, restart options. Guys, how you doing?
Doing well today, Pete. Good to be with you guys. And Davey, what do you make of the potential 24-team playoff?
We do have a lot to talk about today. That would be insane, I think. So that's pretty much what 90% of the teams make it. But I think it would be great to see all these teams have a shot, right?
Yeah, I was actually looking. So if it was a 24-team playoff based on the standings, you would see, I think, three teams in that I don't know if they necessarily have business being in there, between Montreal, Arizona, and Chicago. Also a whole nother bunch of dark horses like Minnesota, the Florida Panthers, teams that were technically in the hunt, and that's why they would be included, because, you know, if the last 10 games or so, right, are scrapped, potentially that's the line of thinking with it, right?
I would like to see the Habs in. I know that, Pete, you said it perfectly. I don't know if all these teams deserve to be in. I don't think they do, but right. Carey Price, round one against a formidable foe. You never, ever want to play Carey Price in the playoffs. How many times have we seen him take the team to game seven?
Yeah.
It's interesting that you have Chicago, big market, New York, big market, and Montreal, big market, all in. I don't think that's by accident. And listen, I think it makes the most sense if you look at playoff percentages. Do we think these teams would have been in? They probably would have been out. But you got to give them a shot to get in the dance, and that's what they're trying to do here. And listen, it does not hurt. Like I said, big market teams, lots of interest. Chicago, Montreal, New York would all be in under this scenario.
It's definitely like a new season altogether, and that's why we're excited to hopefully get back in the groove of all the fantasy stuff, right? It would be playoff pools. We would do a mock draft. That's all the stuff that you could look out for from this show as we get back to normal, if and when everything is announced. But yeah, you guys are talking about Chicago. To me, that's like the one team that jumps out to me. It was a team that this season, I was really disappointed by their power play. It was like bottom five in the league. I mean, look at all the weapons that that team has. If you're playing a run and gun style and you know some of the other factors are not in play or have changed as a result of the new format, like Chicago's a team with the championship pedigree that I think could run with the punches and shock some teams out there.
I think they'll get blown out of the water game one. It'll be 7-0, and then they'll wave the white flag. I can't see Chicago winning a game in this. And I do just want to share a quote so we can throw it out there too to mull on. This is from our producer, I guess Paul something on Twitter. If the Stanley Cup is awarded at all this year, it will be the most meaningful cup in modern history. But one of the players talk about for a generation is the hardest to win with all obstacles they overcame and the sacrifices they had to make. This playoff will become lore.
Well, let's properly credit it. It's Paul Campbell. I saw it on Twitter. I figured I would toss it out to you guys to digest because when I saw it last night, you know, I felt there was some truth to that, but I also felt that I'm not sure if that's going to be the case. Before we get into that, I don't understand how Pete is bringing up Chicago as a team to be scared about. I guess you forgot the first, you know, 3 or 4 months of this season with Chicago.
But it doesn't matter. What happened so far doesn't matter. They could throw Kubalik on power play one. They got a Showtime Kane. They got playoff money Taves. They got
the problem Duncan is Keith. They're going to be matched up against maybe St. Louis. St. Louis would run them out of the rink.
That's true.
And especially with the healthy Tarasenko. Like if Chicago had a matchup against like an aging veteran squad that, you know, was ailing and guys were banged up, I could see it, Pete, for sure, because of their pedigree. But man, their roster is a shell of what it used to be.
Of all the teams that are probably going to get in that maybe don't belong in, I said it from day one, the team that intrigues me the most, Minnesota Wild. I know that you guys may disagree with that.
No way.
I'm telling you, boys, they're a good team. They're a very good team. They have the players to get it done. I like the style they're playing. I like the Minnesota Wild. I like them more than Chicago, I'll say that.
Well, I'll say this. I don't really like Minnesota too much. I would actually argue against the other team that came in the league the same year as them, the Columbus Blue Jackets, because when you get those odds, producer Bob, you got to tell us what those cup odds are, because I'm going to take them. They have to be the 8th or 9th best team in the East, and they have like 9 or 10 injured guys coming back. They have 2 goalies that they can ride. I mean, that's a team that I think they can do some things in the playoffs.
Well, Columbus is a different class than Chicago and Minnesota, as far as I'm concerned. Columbus was in the mix, going to make the playoffs most likely. I think they're a totally different class than these teams that we're bringing up, Montreal, Chicago, Minnesota.
I don't think that's true, Bobby. When you look at Columbus, they have some of the worst underlying numbers in the NHL. It's the John Tortorella brand of let's block shots until everyone's hurt on the blue line. Let's bail out our goalies at all costs, and let's score a couple of garbage goals with guys bumping into the goalie on the other side of the ice. So I don't think Columbus is in this magical class above those teams. Now, going back to Minnesota, Bob, the best thing that Minnesota would have going is their home ice advantage. If it's true what we're reading, and it would be neutral site, I do not think Minnesota is going to benefit. I think they're going to be hurt badly by that, and I cannot see them getting out of round one no matter who they play.
Okay, we can go around in circles on all the teams we like. We mentioned last show, Davey, you weren't on, Columbus Blue Jackets, the odds are tremendous. It's like plus 10,000. You put $100 on it, you can win 10,000 if they win the Stanley Cup. And I think that team benefits the most because they are all healthy at this point. They dealt with so many injuries, and now everyone's coming back, including Seth Jones. So that's why I think Columbus is in just a different class than Montreal and Chicago at the very least. Back to the quote, Paul Campbell, let me read it clearly so everyone can digest it. If the Stanley Cup is awarded at all this year, it will be the most meaningful cup in modern history. It will be the one players talk about for a generation as the hardest to win, with all the obstacles they had to overcome and the sacrifices they had to make. This playoff will become lore. I'm going to lay out. I'm going to let Pete Jensen digest, internalize. What do you think when you read that quote, Petey? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree with it? What angles is in Pete's heart right now?
I don't know if it's going to be the hardest to win. I think if favor the format, if it's condensed, would favor some teams. Clearly, some teams would get healthy, like Colorado and Columbus. And then, you know, you'd have a team like Edmonton that's pretty top-heavy in terms of its top two stars. Like, it would make it a little easier, I think, for them if the format's condensed and there are fewer games for Draisaitl and McDavid to play 30 minutes a game apiece and carry them to the championship. That's what I would say. I don't know if it's going to be more difficult. It's certainly going to be very intriguing.
I think that's totally bogus. Look, I'm all for hot takes. I love putting yourself out there on the line with the firing squad on Twitter. Absolutely. I respect that. It's nothing against the guy personally. I just think it's wrong. When you have these guys on a four-month break, there is no telling what the product is going to be like, especially if the product is played without fans in the arena. It's going to be a different game. It's going to have a different feel. And of course, we're all going to love it. Of course, it's going to become lore. We have nothing else to do. We've been sitting at home for the last 60 days. You're telling me it's going to be a lore. Yeah, no, of course it's going to be a lore. There's nothing else to do.
Guys, before I break down my feelings on that quote, I won $2.50 on Top Chef last week. So that shows you how I'm dealing with the pause right here. So, yes, bring hockey back. Please bring it back. I agree with the guys, though. It would be interesting, I think, intriguing, as Pete said, I believe. But it wouldn't be the hardest to win. Of course, everyone's going to remember it. But I don't really view it as being harder than any other year.
Well, I think what he's trying to bring up and trying to point out is the conditions you're playing under, which are completely different than you would ever play under, which are no fans in the arena, being quarantined, going through the daily testing, having to pick up the season after 3.5 months of being idle. I think those are the conditions and things that I'm not even thinking of, or I don't think anyone has thought of. He's talking about all of those conditions. And from that perspective, I have to agree with him because they're doing something that no one has ever done. It's completely abnormal. The conditions are completely different. So from that respect, I tend to agree with him. Of course, what Rob mentioned, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be incredible entertainment. And we understand why, because we are all starved for sports currently. So, listen, do I 100% agree with the quote? No. Do I think it's interesting? Yes. Do I think he makes a valid point? I do. And so that's why I toss it up to you guys.
Bob, the last thing I want to say about that quote, I think that's probably applicable for the season after this COVID playoff mess. I think that is, you know, depending on the start date, depending on the condensed schedule, depending on a lot of back-to-backs more than normal, I think that probably applies to the following season.
Well, I will say that, Rob, you did mention there were some things we weren't really thinking about, which is true. There's going to be other things going on. Like, obviously, these players are all going to be tested, but, like, how are the benches? How the locker room? Like, these normal things for these players aren't all going to be normal. So, yes, they will have those things thrown in a loop. So things aren't going to be normal for them. So you're right. There's a lot of interesting things that would go on.
Yeah. I mean, if these players are staying in confined locations and, you know, how are they going to get their meals, all kinds of things like that. That's all the details that are going to have to be ironed out, and stuff that the more you think about different components of this thing really is going to make it complicated whenever the green light goes.
Teams that might benefit from this style, you mentioned the Rangers, which I agree with. I think a team that has a lot of those offensive weapons, a team that now is a pretty solidified back end, and even backup experience in Hank Lundqvist, if he needed to start, I'm sure he could step up and handle the workload too. I think that's probably the one that sticks out to me. And then when I think of the Western Conference, I don't know if a team jumps out at me. I mean, you look at the standings and the cutoff, like Nashville Predators, I just don't think that their defense is what it used to be. You know, I just don't think that their forward group has anything that you're really like, oh, you know, they're intriguing. I like that Saros has played better, but I don't think the West Coast, or the Western Conference, excuse me, has an equivalent to the Rangers in the East.
It's funny you mentioned the Nashville Predators, right? We just did our line rankings, and aren't they in like the bottom five of the first lines and also the second line? So yeah, if the defense isn't there, the offense most certainly isn't there. So, but yeah, out in the West, I am interested in Vancouver just because like we keep looking ahead to next season. That's what we've been doing during this pause because we don't know what's going on this season. Teams with really exciting upside and ceilings for next season, I think you have to apply that to this season now that there's such a big break in between. So that applies to the Rangers, the Vancouver Canucks. The Canucks would get Jacob Markstrom back, who's been a top five, top 10 fantasy goalie this year. The Rangers would get Chris Kreider back. Those are huge additions. The team may not even have made the playoffs based on points percentage or based on the standings. But now they will be in, and they will have maybe one of their two or three most valuable players back.
See, I just don't know if there's going to really be any advantage because, like we said, every team's had 3 months off. So, yeah, the Oilers have Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid. But, like, you're not saying in their first game they're going to be sleepy and they can lose the first game. And then who knows what happens. I mean, I just really don't see any, especially with no crowds, no this. Like, I don't really see any team as having a clear advantage here. I really don't.
The more thought I put into it, the more it seems like a total crapshoot.
Well, I mean, that's what the playoffs were last year, right? So now it's going to get even more tricky to digest and to predict. I mean, you remember everybody's playoff prediction, their results last year. It wasn't pretty for anybody in that first round, and it could get even more unpredictable here. Normally you look at seeding and you dismiss certain teams. Like, you can't do that anymore if you're a better here.
I just want to ask you guys, what do you think about the Dynamos? Like, the top of the East, Washington, Boston, and then top of the West. Like, what do you guys think of those teams? Are they going to be okay? Are they going to stumble because they've had the time off? Like, where do you look at those top teams?
Well, I look at Boston as still the best team in the league. I know they had the most points. You know, if the season ended, they won the President's Trophy and the Jennings for allowing the fewest goals. To me, they're the most complete team. They have two goalies they can roll anytime. Their defense is great. We know about their line. So even if the top line, which Pasternak, Marchand, Bergeron, like, even if they're not clicking the first game, they have the second, third line guys to pick them up. So I feel like Boston would be the best suited for this just because their team, I think, has the most depth, I think, in the league.
I don't think Boston has the most depth in the league. That's just my opinion. To be on the contrary, I think that all of these teams are at risk of losing in whether it's a 3-game series, a 5-game series, or even a 7-game series. We've seen it in the past how a team can outshoot another team 40-20 and lose the game. I mean, those are the past NHL. If this abbreviated, different circumstances postseason is going to do anything, it's going to make it just a total crapshoot for sure. So I think the players healthy maybe will make you look at certain teams differently than you would have had that player been injured. And that's where you really can get the advantage. When we know how these guys have been performing all year. Let's say another example. We know how good Oliver Bjorkstrand was for the Blue Jackets. If he comes back and is on a separate line from their top line, like, that gives them another dimension, and most people won't be thinking about that. So that's where I think we could give you an edge here.
For Boston, I'm more on Pete's side of that, Davey. The reason I say that, I did a project recently. I looked at how much scoring their top line accounts for. 40% of their team points. The top line has accounted for. That is the highest percentage of all time in the NHL. Granted, it says, hey, this line's great. The problem with that, Davey, one of those guys gets banged up, Bergeron gets banged up. Guess what? Not happening with David Krejcik there. So I do worry about Boston in that sense. You could say devil's advocate, well, that's great for Boston. Sure, could be too, but I do worry. Come playoff time, you need the depth. Now, the last thing I'm looking at when I'm looking at these wacky playoff situations is the younger teams. I'm curious to see if a team like Toronto, who has a lot of young forwards, if they come out with a little bit more pizzazz in their step, if it's easier for their bodies maybe to get over the physical challenge of having all this time off. I mean, look, think about it. 19, 20, 21 years old, these guys can bounce back from just about anything. So I'm curious to see if that maybe gives them an edge versus a team like Boston early rounds.
Right. If you say, like, if you place like a young team like the Rangers against a team like Boston, in normal circumstances, you would say the Rangers would have no chance. We saw how they fared against them in certain games in the regular season. But would the Rangers have a chance against a team like Boston? I would say absolutely. And that's where these wrinkles of the format, and it's all still going to be ironed out. I'm really excited to get to the actual concrete news and concrete details so that we can like make sense of this, because like Bobby was saying, there's so many rumors floating around right now. Your head spinning if you're trying to make sense of which ones are correct or not. Nobody knows. So once we know, we'll be able to, dissect the series a lot better.
Well, one thing that we also didn't really touch on is if when they start up and play, the first game they're going to be playing, they're going right into the playoffs. There's no preseason games. So how are these players going to gear up, having not played in 3 months, 3.5 months, to go right into a game? Your first game is as big as it gets. It's a playoff game. So that's going to be really interesting too.
I caught a little bit of the Bundesliga action, the German soccer league over the weekend, just because they did pick up and play. And they were great, David. They were only off, I think it was a month and a half, 2 months only off. But you could tell, like, the first 45 minutes of some of those games were sloppy, like sloppy, sloppy. Now, they had a little training camp before that started. But, Davey, I think you bring up a great point. You just cannot tell. And that's why I think it's hard to throw cash on some of this stuff, too. Like, I'd love to see the Blue Jackets pull off another first-round upset. But it's like, how do I feel at all confident knowing that? I guess you could say the same thing last year, though, right? How would you bet against the Tampa Bay Lightning in round one? But crazy things happen in the NHL.
I would say that I would not be putting any of my hard-earned lettuce on one of those early games or the first few games. Let it develop. I wouldn't be opposed to putting some cash on the futures. You know, like I said, Columbus Blue Jackets, great value. I believe the Wild, good value. Like, I'll take some value bets here and there. But the first few games, individual games, I think you're silly to place wagers on those games. And I'm thinking, you know, is there more of an advantage? Are there going to be a lot of goals scored? Are there going to be less goals scored? I'm not really sure how to read that, so I just completely stay away.
I think it's all about adversity in this one, Bob. And the two teams, I think, and you guys can argue with me, but in my opinion, the two teams I think overcame the most adversity this season was the Colorado Avalanche and the Pittsburgh Penguins in terms of top players being injured, in terms of goalies being banged up. They weathered the storm all season long. I think with their leadership groups, including Nate McKinnon and Sidney Crosby on the other side, I think those two teams might be destined to meet in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, don't be surprised if it ends up being that the Avs get their five guys back and Jake Gensel's back, right? I'm excited to see Jake Gensel, Sidney Crosby, Jason Zucker on a separate line from Malkin and Rust. I mean, those teams are stacked for sure. I think both of those teams are a little bit deeper than Boston, to be honest.
Well, the thing about the Avalanche, last year they were only one win from the Western Conference Final, and they got better over the offseason with some of the guys they got. Kadri and Ryan Graves, he's been there, but he's really good now. He's taken off Bellemare, a guy in the Capitals, I can't remember his name.
Burakovsky.
So they took all the things that they needed, and they got better. And to me, Pavel Francouz, like, he's a Vezina finalist. He's been one of the best goalies. So you're exactly right about Colorado. With McKinnon injury, he was supposed to miss some time. They had some injuries. But you're right. That's a team that's – I think they're scary good.
And I also have to lean to teams that are absolutely hungry. They're hungry. And Colorado's hungry. You know what happened last year? They're also young. They're full of energy, right? And they have the best player, one of the best players in the world on the team. So if I'm looking at it, I'm handicapping the upper echelon of the league. Sure, the Colorado Avalanche are right there because, to me, you know, Pittsburgh as well, but Pittsburgh, they're a little fat and happy. They've won their Stanley Cups. You know, are they going to come out with the same hunger and motivation that a team like the Avalanche will come out with? But listen, we could toss around these scenarios all day, and that's the best part of it. It's the best part of the NHL, just like last year. The playoffs are a complete crapshoot, right? So you pick your teams that you like, and me and Robbie were on Boston last year, and we thought Boston was the better team, and it didn't happen, right?
Oh, no, I switched to the Blues. Yeah, remember, I abandoned the Titanic, jumped off.
Yeah, you switched midstream. Me and Pete were on the Bruins, and it didn't happen. So
I also just thought of this, Bob. What about the teams that made a coaching change, like in January, like the Golden Knights, a team that we all liked heading into the season? Isn't that a bit awkward? They only had kind of a month and a half, 2 months of their new system in place. Like, I know you were familiar with Pete DeBoer, watching a lot of Sharks games, Petey. Like a team like Vegas now that has a new bench boss, do you think those teams have any wrinkles or maybe like a caution element to them?
That's really hard to say. I think that, teams like Vegas, who else made a coaching change this year that would be in the mix?
Minnesota, I guess, too, would be.
Yeah, right, Minnesota there. Made it like whatever, like
one game,
3 weeks before the season was paused. But yeah, I think, clearly Toronto is a team that made a coaching change that I think, and they're one of those teams like Colorado. They haven't Colorado hasn't put their best foot forward because of injuries, but Toronto most certainly hasn't put its best foot forward. They're young, they're explosive. Toronto is a team that I would do like a futures wager to win the whole thing. I wouldn't do a futures wager on the New York Rangers to win the whole thing. It's most certainly not going to happen. I'm talking about them springing an upset in one round, if you want to get a little bold. But teams like Colorado, teams like Vegas, nobody talks about Vegas really. And that's a team, they were one of the only few teams in our line rankings that has their top line in the top 10 or 11. And then also their second line was in the top 10. So I think you have to look at the scoring depth, and those teams will rise to the top here. Vegas is one of them.
I like Vegas also just from the perspective of Fleury getting a little bit of a breather. He looked a little gassed in net as this season went on pause. Now maybe a little rejuvenated, rested, had some time to recover. So, Mark Stone is healthy. I think we all believe Vegas is one of those upper echelon teams. I mean, Boston, St. Louis, Vegas. Who else you want to throw up there in the upper echelon? Colorado.
St. Louis.
So, those are the teams that you'd think you have the best chance of winning, but there's going to be upsets sprung. There's going to be craziness, and the fans are going to welcome it. I think the fans will welcome this. If any fan sits there and says, I'm not watching because there's no fans, or I'm not doing this because it's not traditional, they're not true fans then, quite frankly. I mean, something is better than nothing. And if you don't believe that, you're crazy.
If you look at the sports we've had to watch now, like you said, people are just dying for one of the four major sports to come back. So if hockey's first, or even if it's not first, the fans are going to be watching. Because like you said, it brings us back to something that we needed this time. And also, like you said, it's just going to be interesting. You're going to want to see what's going to happen.
Do you like one team we haven't mentioned at all so far? I don't think the Tampa Bay Lightning, also in that upper echelon. Do you think that this format and things like that could present themselves outside of the ordinary would help a team like that that's looking to overcome its past playoff struggles and, kind of break the curse, you could say? Do you think it helps the Lightning?
I don't think it helps the Lightning. I feel the same way about the Lightning every postseason. It's the same thing this year. There's just something off about the Lightning. I think it's mostly on their back end. They're a little bit slow, a little bit stuck in the mud. Especially against teams that play a quick fast break, I don't think they're going to do well, Pete. Like, I'm all for seeing Nikita Kucherov go deep into the playoffs, but I just can't see it.
Robbie's never high on Tampa, which is valid, and quite frankly, Tampa deserves that sort of sentiment with the way they've played in the playoffs in the past, especially last year. Just for the folks, our listeners, Alex Killorn was on with Dan Rosen and Sean Rourke, NHL at the Rink. It was a great interview. And he was flat out clear that everyone on the Tampa Bay Lightning, they are all in. They want to play. They don't care where they play. They don't care what the format is. Again, they are just one of those hungry teams based on what happened last year, how they bowed out against Columbus. But I kind of agree with Robbie. If I'm looking at those upper echelon teams, there's something off with Tampa. There's always been something off with Tampa. And I would put Colorado, I would put Vegas ahead of them. I would put Boston ahead of them. And that's just the way I feel about Tampa. And again, a lot of that is based on their previous performances in the playoffs. And it also has to do with their style of play, which they've sort of adjusted. It seemed like they were getting their sea legs, but now the pause comes. Do they revert back to the style of play, this wide open, taking chances sort of style that leads to them losing?
I guess on the flip side, like kind of why I brought it up is like the more I think about it, like what you were saying, that criteria, like do they have the hunger? Yes, they do. Do they have somebody coming back of significance from injury that they wouldn't have had in the usual playoff? Yes, they do, with Steven Stamkos. So that's like something maybe if they're a little underestimated, you could look at a team like Tampa maybe to take advantage of a little less pressure, right? If you don't feel like you have as much to lose because you feel like it's a shortened season in different circumstances, maybe you can just kind of tune that out of your mind and finally get the job done. Tampa maybe could do that.
But you look at a team like Tampa or a team like Vegas, those to me were two teams that last year in the playoffs, Tampa, we know what happened to them. They were the highest seed, and Vegas, you know, that power play, that call there kind of ruined their chances of getting to the final. So maybe even in these first games that these play, even though some other teams might not be as strong as stuff, maybe in the back of their minds, those teams are like, look, we know what happened last year. So this is our time now. I don't know. Maybe there's just a lecture for them.
The last thing I'll say here before we wrap it is I think physicality is going to be a major factor, as it is every postseason, especially when you have guys like Tom Wilson sitting around for 4 months. His body's going to be ready to go. He's going to come out there throwing bodies on the ice. So when you look at physical teams, I think they're always going to have the advantage, even more so in this postseason. Now, if we saw Toronto play Tampa in round one or something like that, I would think that's going to be a great series. But then either those teams in round two match up against a more physical opponent, I think they fizzle out.
I think the one key takeaway that we've gathered from today's program is we don't know anything. Meaning, like, we don't know how this will shake out. It's usually the case going in the playoffs. We have convictions, and usually those convictions change on a day-to-day, game-to-game basis. Going into this scenario, and the fact that we don't have the format completely in front of us, we're all excited about the positive news. It seems like the positive news, not only from the NHL, but from around the country related to coronavirus, has lifted our spirits. And of course, as hockey fans and, you know, working at the league, we want to see hockey come back. It seems like the news is positive, but there are a lot of details still to be worked out. There's still an entire format that needs to be worked out. The players need to agree to the return to play plans. And once they do start, as we toss, and it's great for fodder, we're tossing around teams, this team, that team, this, we don't know. We really don't know. So once the format is finalized and we can start talking about it, we still probably won't know, but that's why we talk about it. We want to try to handicap it, and that's what makes hockey great, is that as much as we try to handicap it, it's very, very unpredictable.
Well, here's some news from the commissioner this morning that we just got a story in. He said they're looking at probably 8 or 9 different places and a dozen or so teams in one location. So now we're down to 8 or 9 places for these things. So.
And yeah, one thing I do know is that all of us have tremendous passion for this sport, and we do believe that the product on the ice is as exciting. Like, we actually do believe that it's as exciting as any other sport at its height in the postseason. And there will be, because of the circumstances going on around the country and around the world even, there will be more eyes on this sport if and when it comes back. And that's something I'm excited to see, you know, just for the game itself. You know, not to take advantage of this time, but just to show how good this game can be during the postseason with more eyes on the sport.
Plus, we got that TV window without the Olympics, so maybe people will be tuning in to see the hockey.
Maybe, Davey. Sure. And there's nothing else to do. I'll be tuning in.
Good stuff, guys. So Bobby, so you got one more thing?
Yeah, I do. Davey, so you're telling me you'd rather watch women's gymnastics or, you know, team handball than hockey? Is that what I'm gathering from you?
I didn't say that. I just said other people won't have those options. So okay. If you want to watch archery, you won't be able to.
I just want
to
make sure. I just want to make sure. You know, I got you on the podcast here because I thought you're a hockey fan. And then you're talking about, oh, well, there's no Olympics. So, yeah, sure, we'll watch hockey. I want to make sure that women's gymnastics, team handball, archery, whatever, horseback riding, all those other equestrian events, you know, don't take precedence in your book over hockey. That's the fact, right?
Hockey takes precedence. All those other sports I play in Wii Sports, and I'm actually pretty good at archery. So you guys,
wow,
you don't want to play me in archery. I got a mean shot. So
okay, all right, Davey, I could see that. I mean, if there's one thing Davey's an expert or could be an expert at, it would be Wii Sports. That's for sure.
The only thing athletic abilities are limited to that. So there we go.
Well, again, I hope everybody's doing well. We appreciate you sticking with us during this uncertain time. And you know, we see the reviews, we see the listens. We appreciate the hardcore audience that's sticking with us during this time, right, guys?
Absolutely, definitely. And if you guys have any questions about the potential playoff format or how your fantasy league is going to shake out with this proposed scenario, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at NHL Reese, PD's at NHL Jensen, Davey is at Davey. Whoops, David. Satriano, excuse me, Davey. And then Bobby's at AirChecked.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. Rate and review, and we'll catch up with you. In fact, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend as best you can. Kind of tricky that Memorial Day weekend is happening this weekend and not the weekend after, just the way the calendar falls. But enjoy it. Get to the beach. Have a cocktail. And hopefully we have some plans for a restart that we can chat about when we all return.
Yeah, we'll try to do an episode, right, as quickly as we can once the news drops down. So we're excited about that. So, again, check out the other podcasts in the network at The Rink. They've had some great guests on during this pause in the season. Draft class, we're hoping to get some clarity on the draft as well, like we've talked about in different shows. So, again, for Bender, Reese, Satriano, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. We'll talk to you again next time.